Make Mexico a great place for Mexicans to go by exposing the unholy alliance between United States and Israel. Make Israel great again for the Palestinians, whose land was stolen from demons expelled from every single place they go. The racist bigots from the synagogue of Satan want all Europeans gone. They hold up signs to evoke white guilt, saying all refugees are welcome. If you have light skin, you're evil and you did something wrong. So you must be holocausted by unlimited migrant invasions.
After they destroyed their countries, of course, Venezuela, Syria, Iraq, Libya, Iran, Afghanistan, there's no one the Jews will not attack.
Kalergi plan was meant to ethnic cleanse the world of European Christians. Destroy the sovereign identity of independent nations. US supremacist central banks destroy our will to procreate and put our homelands with people the Jews consider easy to enslave. So make Mexico a great place for Mexicans to go by exposing the unholy alliance between the United States and Israel. Make Israel great again for the Palestinians, whose land was stolen from demons expelled from every single place they go. Make Palestine Palestine again. Oh, the Palestinians, by exposing how white supremacy is 1000% Jewish. By exposing how white supremacy is 1000% Jewish. By exposing how white supremacy is 1000% Jewish.
Hello there, and welcome to the Punch Bowl. This is William Rapillum, and please go to republicbroadcasting.org and hit the donate button and donate the much-needed funders so we can keep free speech alive and continuing to do these shows for you. Tonight I have David Scorpio with me, and we're going to be talking about white genocide, and we're going to be talking about the what to do about white genocide, and I'm really happy to have David on with me. David's a incredibly smart guy, a researcher who I've discovered has been researching for decades. I've only been researching for 5 years, a little longer than 5 years, and so it's really an honor to have you on the show, David. Welcome. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Ah, there you are. Yes, sir. Welcome.
Great.
To the show.
Okay. Are we live on air now?
Yes.
Oh, beautiful. Okay. Well, William, thanks for having me on the show, and I'm looking forward to our conversation here, man.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think we may not take calls. I think we got so much to get through. We'll see what we can get through. Yeah, we've got a couple of things. We got a Tim Wise interview. We've got an America Free Press article, an old one. Tim Wise is a Jewish activist promoting white genocide, and in his very kind of disgusting Jewish way that he does it. So we're going to expose him and the bigot that he is, and the genocide committer that he actually is. And posing as some sort of activist for black rights and whatnot like that. So, yeah, we're going to kind of go over that. I'd also kind of like to get into, because I know we get up here and we just sort of preach to the choir about sometimes a lot of the same things, but, you know, I want to talk about also just get your take on what do we do, you know, what do we do about how do we go into the future? We've got real dark times ahead of us, according to this one article that I sent over. And Robert Ravolt, I got to give him a lot of credit. He sends me a lot of really great articles. Robert Ravolt, the other host on RBN here, he's got a night show on Sunday night. Let me see here. I get my technology to work. Scrolling up, and I see, yeah, there's an anti-racism leader, Tim Wise, and Black Days Coming for Whites, the America Free Press article. And this is an old article, actually, from 2015. It was by Victor Thorne, the guy who wrote the book about the Holocaust, the Holocaust Lies. Oh, geez, I was supposed to bring that up here. I have that book. I started reading it. It's real easy to read. It's a real great read, a quick read on debunking the silly, ridiculous claims of the Jewish conspiracy theory known as the Holocaust, which is a conspiracy theory. That's a true conspiracy theory. I love to point out Jewish conspiracy theories. Don't you, David?
Well, my favorite Jewish conspiracy theory is that 19 Arabs with box cutters crashed two planes, supposedly, into three buildings, and three buildings fell over somehow. So, you know, that's my favorite Jewish conspiracy theory. Yeah, and the Holocaust is pretty absurd once you look into, you know, the other side of the story and the idea that there are gas chambers without with wooden doors, without any ceilings, you know, to keep the gas from coming out. I mean, it's the whole thing's pretty absurd. The lampshade, the soap, all of it. It's a joke. And of course, a lot of people that died in the camps actually died because of the starvation due to the Allied blockade of Germany toward the end of the war. And a lot of Germans starved to death too at that time.
Exactly, yeah. The bombing campaigns where we took out the railroad tracks, you know, the America that was co-opted by the Jews back then, and the Royal Air Force, how we not only, you know, firebombed innocent German people and innocent German towns, I mean, like literally deliberately taking out as a genocide campaign that the Jews had against the German people. People don't know about this, obviously, because the Jews control the media and all the banks, and so they don't, you know, they've never talked about this. So everybody's been brainwashed for generations at this point now. So it just takes a lot of unlearning to do. And, you know, I tell people about this over and over again, and it's like it goes in one ear and out the other a lot of the time, you know. So what actually happened was that they firebombed all the train tracks, and they couldn't get supply lines. The supply lines couldn't get food there. So, you know, people died, including Jews that were in the camp, because it wasn't just Jews in the camps, you know. So then they take all these piles of bodies at the end of the war, the victor, and says, oh, look, it's all Jews. It's all these Jews. Look at all these Jews in the graves. Look at all these Jews burnt up everywhere. No, but they were Germans. They weren't Jews. They were mostly dead Germans that had been burnt alive and piled into bodies everywhere. If you read the book Hellstorm by Thomas Goodrich, you really get it. Have a hard experience with your race, the white race, read that book, and you'll internalize just how much the Jews have already slaughtered and murdered so many of us, and they are on the hook for reparations. They are the ones on the hook for reparations, but they've got black people using them as their proxies now to commit white genocide against us. And then pilfer more reparations so Jews can extort that reparation money and then maybe give some of it to blacks. But then I think Jews know that blacks will just spend it all and end up right back in Jewish hands anyway. So the Jews, it's just another extortion racket from the Jews again. And we just have to realize it also comes to terms that the Jews are the bitter enemy of all the whole human race, not just the white people, but you know, and Jews have to come to terms with this too. If you're a Jew and you don't realize that your race is the enemy of the entire human race, then you need to wake up and get on the right side of history and get right with humanity, because you're not right now. So, okay, that's my rant. Let me kick it back over to you, David.
Well, yeah, I don't think black reparations are ever going to happen simply because, how do you determine who's black? I mean, and you know, what percentage black do you have to be to get reparations? And then, of course, there's the unfortunate, you know, sticky question of that, you know, the earliest slaves were actually white from Ireland. A lot of indentured white servants came over who were actually really slaves, because what they would do is simply keep extending their period of servitude through various tricks and means. So the earliest slaves were white, and I don't think they want to talk about that or have that come out in the open. And then I don't see how you're going to determine who's black and, you know, how black, what percentage black do you have to be? I mean, what if you identify as, I identify as black, give me my reparations, you know? So I don't think it's just not going to ever happen. It's a nice way to get people fired up, but it's a fantasy. I really don't think that'll ever happen.
Yeah, if we were to play that clip, maybe just the first 2 minutes of it, where you brought up the hypocrisy, made me think of the hypocrisy of this Tim Wise Jew who says that race doesn't exist. Well, race doesn't exist unless it's white people oppressing black people, which are, the slave proxy, the proxies of the Jews. Mike, do you mind just quickly playing the first 2 minutes of that the American Free Press article called Whites Are Heading for a Dark Time or something? Yeah, and Black Day's Coming for Whites. That'll be the interview there. But if you could skip up to the first minute, because the first minute's just a bunch of fluff. If you skip up the 1 minute and then just play 2 minutes out of there. Oh, I'm sorry. I must have sent it to I'll send it to you right now. Here you go. There it is right there. Well, let's hold off on that. We'll just keep talking. Let me kick it back to you, David, for your comments.
Well, you know, of course, the other aspect about slavery that they really don't want to ever address is that, guess what, guys? The slave trade was run by Jews. It's actually quite provable. You know, the Nation of Islam, think what you want about them, but they actually wrote a series of books called The Secret Relationship Between Blacks and Jews. And they're actually very informative books. And the best part about it is that they only used Jewish historical sources to prove their premise. So they didn't use, you know, white supremacist, you know, historians or revisionist historians. It's all Jewish sourcing that proves that the Jews ran the slave trade. They owned the ships. They actually ran the slave auctions. And, you know, that's another aspect of slavery that I don't think they're going to ever want to deal with because it's quite provable. And I highly recommend reading those books. You know, think what you want about the Nation of Islam. They did a great job of putting all that together, and it's pretty much indisputable once you read those books and check up on the sources.
Yeah. Yeah, and what the Jews will do, their strategy is because they're able to censor so much information, and they've really taken over the internet, they've taken over television, they've taken over every type of media that there is, really. And then they censor everything and then punish anybody who comes out and speaks the truth. So now the truth is somehow a crime now that needs to be stopped and called misinformation, you know, dangerous misinformation. And that's how much effort and force it takes for these Jews to exist, for these parasites to continue to exist and parasite off of everyone, to lie, cheat, steal, commit mass genocide and get away with it and blame other races for it. You know, this has to come to an end, and it's going to, because people are gonna keep waking up. But it's just I don't know, 1 out of 10. And let me kick it back to you.
Well, yeah, I think the Jews really have quite a few problems on their hands here. Number one is that in the age of information, censoring and trying to control information is going to become increasingly difficult. They're going to have a harder and harder time censoring everything and keeping their perspective as the only true source, you know. So that's working against them. And then as people start to understand, or the veil is lifted about really how the central banking system is nothing more than legalized criminality and essentially a Ponzi scheme, that's really what it is in the true sense of the word. Because of the internet and other sources, I mean, there's shows all over the internet now that talk quite openly about this. And I think they're to race against time to try to shut everything down before people figure out what the game is. So yeah. I think, you know, in a lot of ways, there's, you know, I'm black-pilled in some ways, but in other ways, I do think they're fighting a losing battle in the long term.
Right. Yeah. Well, I wanted to kind of get bounce off of you and get your take on solutions Before I do, I didn't get a chance to kind of give some people context of that song that played at the beginning. That's a song called Make Mexico a Great Place for Mexicans to Go. And I wrote it about 3 years ago, and it's going to be I'm just debuting it on the show right now, and there's a couple of corrections I got to make. That's from a few years ago. When it was recorded, it said the land was stolen from demons expelled from every single place, but it should be stolen by demons expelled from every single place they go. So that happens twice in the song. And then I've kind of had another take on the term white supremacy. I'd like to get your take on this too, David. Back then, I was because of the Jews calling us white supremacists because they were trying to come out and tell the truth. I just, you know, I associated Jews with white supremacy just because of the fact that Jews have used us as the shield to commit their crimes in the past. And so there wouldn't even be a term white supremacy if it wasn't for Jewish crimes. And that's why I have attributed that term white supremacy. But I've also kind of come to the realization that despite the pejorative kind of connotation behind that term, white supremacy, it's actually okay to be white supremacist, especially in your own white country. There's nothing wrong with it. So I kind of, at the same time, I've come to a space where I'd even like to normalize that term, because it's actually not such a bad term. White supremacy actually leads to peace in the world. And so that's kind of my take. So let me see what you think on that, David.
Well, I don't know. You know, I'm not sure what white supremacy means. It's one thing to say, you know, I'm interested in the welfare of my people, but rejecting multiculturalism, which is, I think all people ultimately are going to reject that, because the whole point of it is to destroy everyone's culture and end up with this monoculture that's essentially based on consuming goods made by large corporations that are pretty much all owned by Jews. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Mm-hmm. So I think multiculturalism is a disaster, and it's only going to get worse. They've turned America into this land where you've got all these different people that have nothing in common with each other. And I think at some point it's all going to fall apart. This federal government is becoming very clear to just about everybody that this government is actually working against the country, trying to enact a covert agenda that's actually pretty much diametrically opposed to what the average American wants, you know, like open borders and creating an environment where labor is not valued. That's the other aspect to open borders, is that it creates a very low value of labor. And of course, large corporations love that because they don't like to pay people a living wage or good money. So it's a complex question. I'm not exactly sure what white supremacy is. So, you know, I think I do believe people can think whatever they want. And I don't think it should be forbidden to believe in anything you want to believe in. Because if you want to have a truly free environment, then people get to think what they want and associate with who they want and don't associate with who they don't want to.
Yeah. Well, thank you, David. That's a fantastic answer. I really appreciate the insight there on that. And I tend to agree pretty much with pretty much everything you said there. I do think that, you know, if you have white countries, that it's probably best for that country to be white supremacist. And so I think it would be awesome if the leaders were like, yeah, of course we're white supremacists. This is a white country, you know. Why don't you, you know, this has historically always been a white country. We're not interested in turning it into the third world, of turning it into a black or Mexican country or any other kind of country. And just get it all out on the table that, hey, these discussions are absolutely permissible. And there's nothing that the Jews are going to hamstring our brains with to not have the conversation. I would just like to see more people coming out and being more bold and not, in some cases, possibly embracing some of these pejorative terms that the Jews try to use against us to get us to tape our mouths shut.
Oh, yes. Yeah, the whole idea of being politically correct is simply self-censorship. And I think the big question, too, is in European countries and in America, who is going to create the culture? Because right now we have a situation where Jews create our culture. And for such a tiny minority, I don't think, no matter where you stand on the political spectrum, that should be acceptable to have such a tiny minority being the ones who create culture. And I think it's a question we should ask ourselves: who creates the culture?
Yeah, yeah. Right now, you brought up the Jews and the culture that we have now is corporate culture with all these different box stores everywhere. You have this multiculturalism created by Jews, and it's important to know what is the end game for that. Well, it's slavery. And so last night I was discussing on Jeremy's show the slave trade. That has not stopped. The slave trade still continues. It just doesn't, it's just technology has improved their ability to move populations around the world. But when you see these big giant ships coming across from North Africa full of black people going up to Spain and Italy, and the Jews, the Jewish NGOs, all that are orchestrating this this process, you see what is it they're really trying to do? They're trying to end the white race, and they're trying to mongrelize everybody else. They know that blacks and Mexicans and other races are reproducing at high rates, and the Jews are promoting them in doing that, and they're making it difficult for white people to reproduce. They do this through economic means. They do this by giving benefits to people of other races to come into the country, especially that, and then they censor us and make it very difficult for us to organize. They're Jewish groups everywhere. I mean, we're just literally infested with Jewish groups that are just all ethnocentric and for their own race and promoting their people. But if there's even one white group that promotes white, not only does it already have, it's like, oh, you have a white group. Oh, everybody's brains are already hamstrung to think that that's somehow evil. Even I had to reprogram myself from that. And it's taken me a long time to really excoriate that that disgusting, dysfunctional thinking out of my brain. Let me kick back to you.
Well, it's interesting. We do share a border with Mexico, so it makes sense to some degree that we have sort of interchange and, but not an open border. But one reason why Mexicans seem to reproduce faster than white people in America is that, in all fairness, they have strong family values that have not, they haven't been under the same Jewish influence and degenerate forces that Americans have. And I think it's part of the reason that we have low reproduction from, a lot of white people now. And secondly, it's expensive to have children in this country, very expensive. Yes. So Jews have produced a toxic and degenerative culture and that have actually tried to destroy basic family values. And that's part of what's behind all this transgender shit or crap. And, saying you can be whatever sex you want to be, just going against the fundamental laws of nature. And I think that can only end in disaster, and it will end in disaster eventually.
Yeah, and the Jews have always been this way, subverters of nature itself, subverters of God, always subverting. It's like they have this pathological fixation on subverting whatever culture that they get into. If they're able to pry the borders open of any country at all, they will subvert the country, they will subvert the culture, they will take over the government. They're like cockroaches, essentially, that get into your I don't know. I mean, I can't really think of anything else to refer to them as. I mean, that's just what they are. I mean,
Well, this is sort of a business model that they've sort of cooked up through time, through the Babylonian Talmud. A lot of the tricks they learned for subverting cultures and the money magic actually came from Babylon. So they've been doing this a very long time. They're very adept at bringing down a culture and destroying it. That's why Jews are behind communism. Communism is essentially Judaism brought into political form. That's really all it is when you get right down to it. And so the other thing is that communism is essentially the ultimate expression of monopolistic capitalism. You have to understand that if you go far enough around the circle, it comes back to the same thing in a sense. So communism represents the ultimate expression of monopolistic capitalism. And once you understand that, it explains why Jewish financiers in America helped finance the Russian Bolshevik Revolution and Wall Street. Fat cats that were Jewish mostly supported it as well. And that's the reason for it. And so I've been recently reading this book called The Great Red Dragon, and it was published in 1890. I highly recommend it. And it really talks about one of these tricks that the Jews have used. And this goes back to, far before 1890, but this guy figured it out back then, which essentially is that they will create all these different companies and pretend like they're competing with one another, but in reality, they're all owned by the same people. And the other trick they have used, and this is brought out in this book, is that they use these front men, these great titans of industry, like J.P. Morgan and some other very famous people during that era. Turns out when they died, they weren't the actual owners of the money. They were sort of the caretakers for it. And all the real assets, except for an allowance and a certain amount of money given to the front man, actually goes back to the cartel or the club, whatever you want to call it, upon the death of the member. And that's the same game that's being played today. These billionaires they put out before us actually aren't in control of the money a lot of the times. In fact, I think all the time. And it's a front. These people that, like Elon Musk and others, they are not the owners of all this money. They're the caretakers of it. For the cartel.
Yeah. Wow. Great points. Yeah. You brought up communism is Judaism, and it was actually quoting Stephen Wise, the rabbi from World War One and Two era. He was the head of the really big, huge Zionist like head rabbi of the world, the World Jewish Congress or something like that. And he said, "Some call it communism. I call it Judaism." So, the Jews, they come out and admit what they're doing, especially in their own circles and their own publications. If you read their Haaretz or their Jewish Telegraph Agency paper or Encyclopedia Judaica, I mean, this is the thing after this is what David Duke has cited in his books. I mean, that's all he's really done in his books. Can you really blame somebody for citing the Jewish sources themselves, it's so funny what you mentioned about the corporations too. We had Bud Light recently, for example, right? Anheuser-Busch, they pretty much committed suicide. However, what are people going to still go out and drink beer? They're just going to drink another type of beer that the Jews already own. So you're right. Exactly. They don't care which one goes bankrupt or whatever. They can handle it. It's a portfolio. So one goes up, the other goes down, So
exactly. That's a very good example. They don't really care. And people think they're making a difference by, I'm going to boycott Bud Light. I'm not drinking that anymore. Well, it doesn't matter because you're going to drink the other brand that's owned by the same people. And of course, by now, most people are familiar with, BlackRock and Vanguard and the tremendous assets they have. And that's just one example of how, you've got these, megalithic corporations, front corporations that have investments in so many of these different companies. And, if you look at the food distribution, the food companies are all owned by a handful of companies, just like the media is really. They say it's six companies.
Hey.
Okay, yeah, we're at the break.
Sorry, Dave, we're up against the break. I guess we're not hearing the music, Mike's saying. We'll be right back, folks, with David Scorpio.
Want the truth? You can't handle the truth. the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation. But today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
The world is over because people are stupid and too lazy to question their TVs. They sit like dipshits watching Hollywood movies thinking that they're getting truthful history. They don't know that they're brainwashed and the hateful propaganda about Hitler and the Germans is all lies. And even if they did, they know that if they dared to say so, everybody in the room would start to cry. Dagnabbit, we're all screwed, because we're dumber than a box of ugly shoes. Constant wars for Israel, genocidal terror cell, and the only winners are the you-know-whos. Dagnabbit, we're all screwed, because we fought against ourselves in World War II. Constant wars for Israel's genocidal fight, and the only winners are the chosen knights.
All right, folks, we're back.
Chosen knights.
I've debuted another song here, actually. So that's not debuted. Some of you know about it already. Chris Switzer made a video of it. It's on his channel, The Freedom Ministry. I uploaded it to my BitChute channel, which I've only made known right now for the first time. I don't have much on it yet, but I did put that on there. So we've got the Chosen Knights music video. If you want to go and subscribe to my channel, well, William Repillum on BitChute, I would appreciate it. Yeah. So, and David, thank you. I appreciate you putting up with all that. And you got interrupted your thought We were talking about the banks and corporations by the break there. So let me let you continue.
Yeah, well, I like that song. You know, the sad truth of the matter is that America actually fought for communism in World War II. That's really what we did. America fought for communism. We defended communism. We propped it up. We kept it alive. It would have been destroyed. And, you know, of course, America really didn't want to get involved in the war. 80% of Americans were against involvement in World War II prior to the false flag known as Pearl Harbor. And, of course, Roosevelt cooked up this false flag by, essentially forcing the Japanese to attack through all these sanctions and actually cutting off their source of fuel, among other things. Really terrible. So we ended up defending communism, long and short of it. But and that's a sad truth. I take no pleasure in saying that. But, just to wrap up the idea on the corporations, BlackRock and Vanguard, people have heard of this by now, but it's beyond that even, because you've got, if you look at the ownership of the food companies, it's all wrapped up into literally like five companies: Unilever, PepsiCo, and a few other companies actually own the entire food business, except for, the very small companies. And even those companies have interlocking ownership. The same goes with the media. They say there's six corporations that essentially own all the major media. But if you look into it further, those companies are actually sort of interlocking themselves. So it really comes down to basically one company owns the media. You're muted.
Oh, yeah. I was just asking that one company that owns the media and pretty much all the other corporations, is that BlackRock, Vanguard?
Well, yeah, they have a stake in all of those. And, I believe there's actually kind of a centralized ownership of sort of a hidden cartel that is essentially the most powerful people in the world, primarily Jews. And, they've let other people into the club, but you're probably down to, several hundred people, really, when you get right down to it, that have ownership of most things on the planet. And so that's why we have such a unified message from all corporations. Like, you should ask yourself, why do all corporations have the same values all of a sudden? Like, if we really had independent ownership of all these different corporations, you'd have a wide spectrum of beliefs and ideas about how things should be. But instead, it's all a monoculture. And the reason is, it's all owned by the same people. It makes sense when you think about it.
Yeah, and it's great if we can trace it, and trace it back to, but they make it pretty difficult to do that. You have to really kind of dig and do extensive research on it. David, I wanted to ask you a question about something we discussed last night with Jeremy on his show, and we were getting into Victoria Nuland and all these Jews in Biden's cabinet, and Jeremy was mentioning how these people are just literally like, they're sort of like not as they're more inept than the Jews used to be back in times past. It was the argument that he was making, and I thought it was a really interesting point that he was making on that. And I kind of took the position that's deliberate, and that they're not actually the ones controlling anything. These are just lieutenants, following orders. These order followers are these people placed in the cabinets. And who is it really behind those people, that is really calling the shots? Now, you have the 50 leaders. And so I wanted to get your opinion on that. But you have the 50, the Council of 50 Presidents of 50 major Jewish organizations, right? Side note, imagine if you had the Council of Presidents of 50 major white European organizations organizing. Imagine what the Jews would do. They would just exterminate you. They're already exterminating us. They've exterminated hundreds of millions of us already. but they would come after you with an extermination plan, essentially. But yeah, let me get your take on what do you? Well, the question is, do you think that they're just these people in the cabinet are fumbling about? And I had brought up that, well, I think they're controlled by others. And then Jeremy said, well, those others are also, you know, they're also subjected to the same externalities that are, you know, making them fumble more than the previous generations. I don't know if that question is very clear or not. Sorry.
Sure. You mentioned the State Department, and that's a perfect example of a completely captured government entity at this point. You got this Anthony Blinken character who just happens to be Jewish. And number two is Victoria Nuland. And there's a third woman. Her name escapes me right now.
Wendy Sherman.
Yeah, Sherman. That's it. Sherman. But number three, she's also Jewish. So yeah. You got three out of three there. And really, I tend not to buy this idea that they're just inept. They don't know what they're doing. They're incompetent. No, they're not. They're actually highly intelligent. They know what they're doing, but they're following orders. You know, this government, these people do not set policy. That's what we have to understand. The president does not truly set policy. Just like these people that go to Bilderberg meetings and World Economic Forum meetings, these people do not set policy. The marching orders are handed down to them from above. So these people that are in government are there to enact an agenda. They're there to follow orders. And if they step out of line, they will be dealt with by a number of ways, either through releasing some of the skeletons out of their closet. That's why they love to hire people who are corrupt and have strange sexual predilections, because that's a very easy way to keep people in line. With the threat of releasing those, you know, nasty photographs or, you know, leaking that sort of thing to the press. They also control them through bribery and blackmail. And so those are the primary simple, that's like the short Cliff Notes version of how they control all these people, including the Congress, the president, all of them.
Yeah, and that's definitely what the whole Epstein thing was all about, really, was exposing that whole system coming to light, that system of inauguration into the high society or into the politics. You know, you're taken to Epstein Island and you're put into a compromising position, sort of, I guess they sort of force it on you or use temptations of some sort, and they get pictures of you doing something horrible, like some kind of child abuse or sexual child abuse or some kind of something that they can use against you later. So Jeffrey Epstein was the sort of the broker of that with his Epstein Island. Everybody knows that already, but,
Absolutely. I believe that there were other, there wasn't just one Epstein Island. There was other Jeffrey Epstein's out there now doing the same thing, exactly what you're saying. And you have to realize too, that another thing that's done with all these people who are in positions of power, they, do a psychological profile of these people. And, you know, this is well documented. The CIA and other intelligence agencies started learning how to do psychological profiles on people to predict their behavior back in the 1950s. And it's really become kind of an art form, you might say. So they very carefully look at all these people and figure out what makes them tick and the best way to proceed to manipulate them.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the Jews really, they invented this term psychology, right? Modern psychology is another Jewish tool, another use, you know, of Freudian psychology and Kinsey and the sexual degenerate Kinsey who helped promote sexual degeneracy across the country. Before I go on to my next question, do you have any comments on that? Or,
well, you're right. Psychology is primarily been a Jewish pseudoscience, is really what it is. And you know, there's a great documentary called Century of the Self. It's still up there on YouTube. It's like 4 hours long. I highly recommend watching it because it hits on a lot of different things. But you know, sort of the early master of this was Eddie Bernays, the nephew of Sigmund Freud, who sort of figured out how to manipulate the masses into buying certain products. And actually, he cut his teeth doing war propaganda against the Germans in World War I. And then in the 1920s, started these various campaigns, beginning with the, I think it was called Torches of Liberty, convincing women to smoke. And it went on from there. And what they did is they expanded this sort of knowledge of how to manipulate the masses beyond simply buying products to believing ideological ideas or believing, you know, whatever they want them to believe to get people into a mode of behavior that they want. And so it's really very quite sophisticated now. And most of the players are Jewish. And in this century of the self, it doesn't come all the way out and name the Jew, but everybody that they profile in this series, almost 95% of them just happen to be Jewish, William.
Yeah. it's uncanny. And you know, it's I think you really touched on something just incredibly important there, just with the propaganda that comes through everything, literally everything. They've been controlling it for so long. So now, I mean, they're so good that anytime you try to have a conversation with somebody about it. The other night I was trying to talk to some kid at a bar, and some 20-something-year-old kid. I started to tell him a little about this stuff, and his head starts shaking back and forth. And I'm thinking to myself, how do I tell this kid that he's completely programmed and mind controlled? He just has no idea, just doesn't have any clue, you know, that this is that his brain has been completely warped and mind controlled. So I guess so. Let me get your comments before I move on to the next one.
Yeah, that's actually an interesting idea or a concept you're talking about. And you know, I think when you're trying to deal with a normie or someone young that's been brainwashed, you know, all you can do is plant seeds, and you have to start with something fairly simple. You can't jump to the more advanced material because it starts to sound really crazy. Some of the things that you learn when you get into the more advanced information, it sounds completely insane to the average normie, but you can kind of start them off with Jew 101 or just, you know, hey, we have a controlled society 101, and plant seeds and see whose mind is willing to sort of process this and take it in. And, you know, some people are going to just flat out reject it, set them aside, move on. But you will find some people that are actually quite hungry to learn new things right now. I think we're at a very good period for that. Personally, you know, I'm the kind of person, I'll just go up and talk to complete strangers when I'm out and about. And I live in California, and it's very rare that someone will actually give me a very, you know, negative response. Of course, I don't walk up to strangers and say, hey, did you know that Jews run the world? I don't quite go there. But people are hungry for information because I think, really, even with your average normie, they have a gut feeling or a intuitive sense something's really wrong with our world, and they want answers, and they're not getting it on TV, and they're not getting it from the standard media sources.
Yeah. Yeah, great points and great advice, too, that you're giving there. Yeah, you really have to just plant seeds with the normies and sort of not expect much right away. Can't be giving them a full dissertation. Yeah, I started to try to explain the reasons for World War I and World War II to this kid, and that's exactly what you don't do, I think, probably. I don't know. But I do find that a lot of people are receptive to some of those things. It all makes sense to me in my head. It's all completely, all the puzzle pieces all fit together. But when you're going to somebody, they haven't even started, they have a puzzle in front of them, they don't have any pieces put together yet. Then it becomes difficult for them to process when you just start rattling things off.
Oh, sure. And you know, what's interesting, even, you know, your standard historians don't really have a very good explanation as to why World War I started. It really doesn't make a lot of sense. Okay, the Archduke Ferdinand was assassinated, and that means that we had World War I? Well, it's because of all these ridiculous treaties and sort of NATO-like organizations that they had all these countries wrapped into. So once they started, you know, fighting in one area, they were able to domino effect the whole thing into this giant war. And, of course, remember, it's also a misnomer to call either one of the so-called world wars World War. They really weren't. There. European wars, primarily white people killing each other, you know, because really there wasn't much of a war going on in Africa or South America. two very large places. These were primarily European wars. They're fratricidal wars as well.
Yeah, and both you and I know how these were actually Jewish wars against the white race, where they used us, they pitted us against each other, and then said, okay, go fight. And
let's you and them fight, yeah.
And then we just slaughtered each other. So really, I hold the Jews responsible for that, because they are responsible for having stoked those wars. It would not have happened without Jewish interference, international Jewish interference in the countries. They absolutely were conducted and fomented by Jews in power. So this is why I say Jews are cockroaches. If you're a Jew and you're offended at me saying that your race is a cockroach, so don't take it personally that I say Jews are cockroaches. I mean, it's just the truth. And what you got to do is start speaking out against this horror. If you're promoting things like the Holocaust, if you're promoting all these Jewish lies, then you're being a cockroach. I mean, I don't know how, what else to tell you. So I don't have anything to say about that, David.
Well, of course, you know, the average, you know, Jew on the street really doesn't know a whole lot more than anybody else. They've been propagandized by their own religion and the mythology that they've that's been built up, making them quite paranoid, thinking that everyone's out to kill them because of the Holocaust. And, you know, there has been a history of anti-Semitism, but let's just have a discussion as to why. I mean, there's you can't say that there's been all these problems with Jews and then blame it all on the people who kicked them out of their country. I think this is an interactive experience we had. And for whatever reason, throughout history, Jews have made a lot of people angry at them. And these people didn't want to live around them or have them in their country. So if you have an open discussion about this, which is very difficult, it's not really going to happen with most Jews. There's a small number who will. But again, I have to, in all honesty, you know, Uncle Shlomo that owns a deli down the street doesn't necessarily know a whole lot of what's going on. He doesn't excuse them or make them a victim. But you know, it's the big Jew versus the little Jew, and we know from history that the big Jews are willing to sacrifice their own in order to achieve political or social goals.
Excellent points. Yeah. Yeah, it's great. Yeah, again, you know, I draw a correlation between your advice about how to approach normie on it, and you know, the Jew, just the normal rank and file Jews, you got to put in perspective where they're coming from as well, because they probably don't know about what we know about. I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that I think there are probably a lot of Jews who, if they did know about what we know about, that they would be disgusted and they would work against their Jewishness, the world Judaism, and the horrors of Judaism and the horrors of the Jewish race that are being committed against humanity. I look at this Edward Bernays guy, and you just look at his Wikipedia. You look at his eyes. I mean, just like, it's just very typical of Jews in power. They have no soul. There's a deadness in their eyes. I mean, I don't know, if you pull up the Wikipedia page and you look at this guy, you know, I mean, it's just an uncanny look. It's a look of just complete absence of God, complete absence of any kind of, I don't know, just an absence of God there.
Well, yeah, it's a sort of the empty stare of a psychopath or a sociopath.
Yeah.
It's really what it comes down to. And, you know, Eddie Bernays was quite a celebrity back in his day. You know, he became quite famous during his peak. And, you know, he had all these different corporations just begging him to do an ad campaign for them, because I think through his knowledge of that, you know, Sigmund Freud probably passed on to him about human nature and how to manipulate the Goyim masses. This is what we're really talking about here, isn't it? This is what he did. And, you know, there's no empathy or compassion in a lot of these people, unfortunately. And that's why, really, there has to be some kind of a separation at some point, because you can't live in a high-trust society if you have sociopaths and psychopaths with their fingers on the levers of power, it's always going to end badly, and it's always going to end up with a Jewish monopoly. That's really always the goal of the Talmudic system, the communist system, is a monopoly. And as I said earlier, communism is really just the ultimate expression of monopolistic capitalism.
Yeah. So, yeah, absolutely perfect. I mean, yeah, you hit it right on the head with just a sociopath, a psychopath, dead eyes, the empty stare of a psychopath. I mean, that's it, right there. And they are running the country. So, what do we do, David? What do we do? How do we get out of this? I mean, we talk about this. I mean, this is the world. This is the great paradox of the world. Really, it's probably the greatest paradox the world's ever faced. How do we get out of the chokehold from Jewish supremacy that has on the whole planet, and bring the planet back to back into balance and back to world peace, bring world peace back?
Well, that's not exactly an easy question. That is the question of the hour, though, isn't it? And unfortunately, there's no getting out of this without a considerable amount of pain, because really this system as we know it cannot be reformed. It's impossible, nor can the federal government. It cannot be reformed. So it doesn't matter who becomes president ultimately. I mean, there is some differences depending on who's sitting in that seat. But ultimately, you've got this entire covert system that issues orders to the visible government. There truly is an invisible government that actually runs the whole show. So, unfortunately, you're not going to reform this system. It is going to have to be destroyed, and a new system is going to have to be built from the ashes, like a phoenix, in a sense. And I think it's going to have to, you know, I think the best hope is for states to eventually start breaking away from the federal government. And I think it'll only take one state to do this. And it's going to be very painful, because you're not going to be able to live the lifestyle that you're used to living. I think we have to accept that. You're going to have to live a much simpler, back to nature kind of lifestyle, where you learn some basic survival skills, how to build things, how to grow food, how to build buildings, how to fix things, really have some kind of system that's going to be based on barter and trading items of value. It's going to have to start fairly primitive, because, unfortunately, the ownership is already there. They've already got the consolidation of power and ownership. And I think Operation COVID Hoax is sort of the greatest step forward at once in terms of those goals. Incredible gains were made in terms of ownership and control during that period. While everybody was afraid of getting the sniffles and wearing masks, they were scooping up assets and consolidating power and printing a tremendous amount of money so they could buy things. And, you know, that's what's going on, too, with this huge bubble of a real estate market right now. With the interest rates as high as they are, they're almost 8% now for a home loan, which is insane. And the market should really be tumbling in value, but it's not, because we don't have a free market. And they're just buying up real estate right now with cash. That's what's keeping the market from collapsing. Or there should be a major correction in the market. There's 30, 40% in areas like California. You know, right here in California, an average decent house is $800,000. And, you know, the people's incomes really have not increased enough to sustain such incredible levels of cost. Yeah. So there's no easy answer to your question, but there's going to be a lot of pain. You know, Catherine Austin Fitz has done a good job of sort of showing this fact there's going to be a lot of pain. I don't agree with her on everything, but I think she's done a good job of sort of showing there's going to be a big pain in order to unravel this.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you, David. We're at the end of the show. What a fantastic conversation. I really appreciate it. I hope next time we can continue with more. Thank you, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, William. Everyone, take care.
Bye-bye.
Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.